right, day 28. We are in Isaiah today. There's a lot of chapters in Isaiah.
There is a ton.
That we are going to spend time in, so.
Yep. So we're going to tackle this kind of not a section by section, I think, but kind of just, again, understanding the book overall because it'll help what you've read. Isaiah, just so we're all, this is a prophet that is, he's speaking directly to Judah. Mm-hmm. This is him.
Spans about 40 years.
Yeah, before, you know, it's basically the warnings of, hey, you straighten up, or what happened to Israel is going to happen to you,
mm-hmm.
You know, exile, and it's God continuing to warn them,
mm-hmm.
You know, so it's the call to repentance.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is what's really amazing about Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah is one of the main books of the Old Testament that gives us the most information about Jesus
yep.
and the Messiah.
Yep.
And you'll see that in the reading, in the chapters that you go through. But that's what it is God basically warning, but he's also giving hope about
Messiah.
Deliverance. Yep. Yeah, it's all of that.
And then ends with prophecies about the final judgment and restoration yep. and all the good yep. things. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Anybody that's reading Isaiah, and if you've never read Isaiah or any of the other prophets, here's the thing. There's going to be a ton that you're going to be like, what in the world are you talking about? There's a lot of imagery.
Imagery, yeah, that's what I would think.
And there's just stuff that, like, it's not from our culture, so, like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that is. So the encouragement when you read these books is just let the Holy Spirit just speak what he wants at the moment. Don't get bogged down with, I don't get this. Look for the things that he just kind of shows. Pay attention to this. And so as we go in this, you can see at the beginning, those first two chapters of Isaiah, that this is ultimately God laying the foundation of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically calling him out. You know, yeah. You sinful nation, you're loaded with guilt. He calls them a brood of evildoers. You can read the beginning of Isaiah and feel very like, man, we're yeah. horrible, you know, yeah. but he's laying out the problem.
Yeah. He's basically saying, I don't want your vain offerings. I'm after yeah. your heart.
Exactly. He's yeah. like, but yeah. And this is the tension of, I'm not just looking for you to be religious.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But then at the same time in chapter one and chapter two, but especially chapter one, is he's laying out this very, you know, detailed, like, this is the problem. But then all of a sudden, verse 18, you see the mercy of God. Come, let us reason mm-hmm. together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are as red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, right? I mean, we see all throughout God's warnings of what's going to happen, the constant, I want to fix this. Let's fix this. And he's announcing his divine desire to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Isaiah starts. It is God, there's a problem, let's fix it. Come, let's figure this out. But then there's this amazing chapter when you jump over to chapter 6, we get to see the reason why God is able to yeah. say what he's saying, because he's holy.
Yeah, we get to see a vision of God's throne room here.
Yes, yeah. yeah. So, you know, you have this moment between God and Isaiah, and this is God showing again, this is why I have to deal with sin. I am holy.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, we see God's mercy, because Isaiah, when he sees his position before God, mm-hmm. I am a man of unclean. God heals it.
Yeah.
He takes care of it. Again, it's pointing towards Jesus. Like,
yeah.
there's a problem between us,
yeah.
but God is faithful to take care of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, when we see God's holiness, then we can see ourselves yeah. rightly, which, yeah. you know. Yeah.
Which should bring a brokenness
yes.
and a, I don't deserve to be in your presence.
Yep.
And this is a challenge. I just throw it out there. If any of us ever think we're seeing God's holiness and it puffs us up, we're not seeing God's holiness.
Yeah.
God's holiness yeah. brings us down, but then his holiness brings us up. There's a,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we even see that with Peter, you know, and John, when they mm-hmm. saw the glory of Christ, they were mm-hmm. like, depart from me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was still like, no, stand yeah. up. This is good. So that's what we see there. We get to see behind the curtain. And then when we jump ahead, another chapter they have us read is chapter 40. Again, it's just this beautiful ability of God showing us why we should be in awe of him.
Yeah.
Right? Just
he's comforting them yes. here and reminding them that He is the Almighty Creator.
Yes, and that He has a plan, right? Yeah. This is where we get the a voice of sovereign. One calling in the desert. Make this, you know, God, the Lord is coming. I am going to fix this. And so we see that. And then when you get to those last sections of this, 52 through 55, this gives us the prophecies and the imagery of Jesus. We see who He is. We see how He's going to suffer. It gives detail of what that's going to look like. It's again, it should give us so much hope, because we can, when they heard this the first time, they're like, what are you talking about? You know, there's probably a lot of confusion. We get the benefit of looking back and saying, oh, that's how Jesus fits this. So there's just a lot of comfort and peace and hope and excitement in Isaiah. So it's why it's one of my favorite, you know, especially chapter 55, which you should have ended on, you know, come all who are thirsty, come. There's this invitation. Isaiah is full of invitation of God. So it should just bring a lot of encouragement when you read it.
One thing I read that I thought was really cool in regards to chapter 53 was that some Jewish people refer to 53 as the forbidden chapter and refuse to read it aloud in the synagogues. And it's actually been removed from some of their holy books. And the reason why is because it paints a very clear picture of Jesus. 52:14 says that He was beaten beyond human recognition when He was crucified. And so when you see a crucifix with a tiny trickle of blood on the forehead, that's a gross misrepresentation of what He actually endured. So just kind of a cool extra little thing that I was reading when I was prepping for this.